When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast into the 7 o'clock hour. Happy Halloween, everybody. We've been so caught up in it being a football Friday on a Thursday and the Jets and the Texans tonight. Good luck out there tonight, parents. Looks like we have Fox 26 on in the studio here. I think it's still on from last night's World Series game. And it looks like some really delightful weather out there tonight for you parents bringing your kids out trick-or-treating.
Weather to navigate, not to mention if you want to watch the game.
Right.
The game starts early enough that it's not so late that kids would be done with their trick-or-treating already.
Oh, yeah. You're getting interrupted during the game. The game kicks off at 7:50. What's the latest acceptable time to ring a doorbell on Halloween night for you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah,
like, I think nine.
Nine, huh? Wow.
Yeah. I feel the teenagers usually are out. I'm always like, well, all right.
Okay.
If we're going to go by the centuries-old tradition of, all right, if you're not going to get a treat, then you're going to get a trick. I try to cover my bases and take care of the teenagers until 9 p.m.
That's fair. I don't think nine is insane. It feels a little late to me. Now, here's my other question, and we'll get to J.J. Watt on the Pat McAfee show in just a second, I promise. But this is important. When teenagers ring the doorbell for Halloween, I'm talking like junior high age, like, you know, 13, 14. Those are the earliest you'd be a teenager. What am I talking about here? Yeah, so like, do they have to be in costume for you to give them candy? Or do they just show up as a junior high student as their costume?
No.
You're not a stickler for that kind of thing?
No, yeah. Okay. I respect them gaming the
system.
Respect
a good hustle,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I respect the fact that they're like, what are they going to do, be jerks about it? Yeah. So I give it to them. Maybe I give them a little bit of a side eye, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you ever that teenager? Did you still trick-or-treat when you were 13, 14?
I think there was one. I think that maybe the last year we went trick-or-treating that we did, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one, and then the year after, I remember I was in high school, there was this little hamlet in our town that was like still kind of country when I grew up before it became super suburban.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this group of kids, like basically known juvenile delinquents in this neighborhood, like a proud tradition of it for years. One of their traditions was that they would save tires all year long. They'd find old discarded tires,
like car and truck tires. Yeah,
and then they would find a place on a country road out in the middle of nowhere, pile up all the tires in the middle of a road, douse them with gasoline, and then set them on fire.
Whoa! Okay.
And I didn't know this, and it was a big game of cat and mouse between the volunteer firemen and the teenagers in this place. So I got invited out one night to go what I told was trick-or-treating, and then all of a sudden I found myself in the middle of this, and my stepfather is a volunteer fireman at the time.
Oh, jeez.
So I fled. Yeah. I never dimed anybody out or anything, but when I realized what was going on, I got the hell out of there.
Look at you. You're okay. Yeah. So your instinct meter was set to good. You're like, you know what? I know this is wrong, what's about to
happen
here.
Yeah, or just cowardly.
I'm going to get out of here.
I don't know if it was good old-fashioned making a moral choice or it was just I didn't like the idea of getting caught. Whatever it was, I got the hell out of there.
Either way.
Usually that's what discipline is for. It's to keep the coward part of you enacted until you get old enough to actually have a conscience.
I get it.
So I don't know where I was
yet
there. I don't know if I was acting out of fear or conscience, but I got the hell out of there.
Yeah, you're still learning a lot about yourself at that age. I get it.
Those kids from Fishers, man. They were bad kids.
That was the name of the hamlet, Fishers?
Yeah. It was this tiny little, like, you know the old Four Corners where it used to be, you can see back in colonial days, it was probably a thriving little mill town or something.
Yeah.
But so like the skeleton of the little hamlet was still there, but now it's all houses that have been turned into quads and it kind of just everything in disrepair. Yeah, it was that kind of
Fishers, like Fishers, or Fishers like Fishers, like anal fissures, you know, like cuts.
It was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would have been funny if it was the second one. It sounds like it's a more appropriate name for it. You know,
it's a fissure on our community is what it was. And it
that's
was
what I mean.
Anal fissure.
It's an anal fissure on your community, lighting all those tires on fire. Metaphorically.
They had kids that were like awesome athletes, but by their junior, you know, by junior high, they were kind of like
stoners.
I ain't listening to no authority figure. I'm gonna go hang out in Fishers and collect tires.
Yeah, collect tires and smoke four packs of cigarettes. Yes.
When they had BB gun fights, it was like no. We're doing 50 pumps on the air gun. It's not just your little Daisy BB gun fight. We're out trying to maim people.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my God, BB guns. All right, let's get to J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was on Pat McAfee yesterday. This was J.J. Watt finding out that the Texans are a 2-point underdog, or at least as of yesterday they were. I'll double check. But as of yesterday, the Texans were a 2-point underdog to the Jets. Here was J.J. Watt finding out that little bit of information.
Let's talk about your Houston Texans. Big game tomorrow night against the New York Jets to kick off week 9 of the NFL season. You guys are underdogs, I do believe, in New York. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
You gotta be shit.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Brother.
You gotta be kidding me.
Brother.
This is what hell does Vegas know that I don't?
This is what they know. This is what they know. Prime
He's
time.
Back.
Prime time.
Is he gonna be on the Jumbotron?
Didn't see that coming. Could be wrong, but I don't think I am. If I just look at these two squads truthfully right now, obviously I'm slightly biased, but I believe Houston Texans are the better team.
McAfee's crew sounds so much like the kids from Fishers.
They need to light tires on fire today on the show.
I can't. Those are grown men that sit around thinking of like, hey, what do we do when at various points in the show we want us to like start chanting in unison, or when we call somebody a dog? Hey, when we say somebody a dog, we're all going to time it out and we're going to say he's a dog.
Dude, I'm not lying. I watched that show. I'm like, I wonder how much McAfee pays those guys. McAfee makes a ton of money. Like, he can afford to pay them a lot.
I could see him paying them like $15,000 a year, and they have to sleep in a back room at the studio.
I could see any scenario. I'm just curious what the actual answer is. You know what I mean?
And then he dresses them down as much love as there is on the show.
Yeah.
Whenever the cameras are off, it's like, you never forget. You should never forget why you're here and who brought you here. You bums.
I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he actually does treat them pretty well. Like
they have a career in broadcasting now. I never heard of any of them. Yeah, he's treating them well. They're on TV. If the McAfee show goes away, I guarantee you those guys are going to wind up somewhere else.
Who knows, though? I mean, it's kind of like the old either MTV VJ or ESPN Sports Center anchor. They've got jobs, but they get treated like crap because the company knows SNL cast members, unless you're one of the superstars.
Yeah, that's true.
They just kind of treat them like dirt, you know? And the franchise is what feeds them.
Jets down to a 1.5-point favorite now on the Texans.
So, what was the greatest that they were?
Two.
They were
a 2-point favorite, down to minus 1.5.
I do think that at least part of this, because you gotta look at a couple things here. Despite what the Jets' record is, as much as I try to prop it up a little bit by pointing out, wow, they have a lot of potential, and you never know when it might click. Since week 3, Which, you know, Rodgers points to week three against the Patriots. Like, he refers to it almost like it was one of his MVP seasons or something. He's like, yeah, you look back, I was moving around pretty well in week three. Week three was a long time ago, man. Because in the last 5 weeks, the Jets ranked 27th in scoring, 25th in total yards per game, 31st in rushing, 31st in third down conversions, 28th in red zone efficiency, and 25th in total EPA.
Yeah.
They've been a bad offense since his glorious days back in week three versus the Patriots. So this is what Vegas, this is my theory for what Vegas is thinking. I think that the computer models show this to be a much tighter game than what people initially thought it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because when you look at the defense, a lot of the overall numbers on defense look pretty good. A lot of the individual players overall look pretty good. But a lot of that has changed since Robert Saleh got fired. Mm-hmm. The defense hasn't been the same since Robert Saleh got fired. So I don't think the computer models can't take into account the effect of a good defensive coordinator in Robert Saleh, who is actually calling the defense, getting fired when the team, when that unit is performing well.
Yeah.
So they, I think the computers plug in all that information from the season, but they're like, good defensive coordinators whose units are performing well don't typically get fired in the middle of the season, but that's been a huge change for this Jets team.
So you're saying that the Jets should be looked at by not only humans, but computers as their defense, at least as pre-Saleh firing and post-Saleh firing.
Yeah, yeah.
That if you could plug in, if you could check boxes in a computer to run the simulations on this thing, you would say, do not take into account the first five games of the season with the Jets defense. Yeah. Just the last three.
But the computer looks at it and says, well, three games is too small a sample size.
Right.
And even if it weren't a small sample size, there's not really a not a lot of precedent to go by.
That's why
there's
they'll never win,
data
Seth.
Points to go by.
That's why we'll never be working for the computers ever, because they don't know about sample size.
You got to have some restrictor plates.
Yes.
It's like, hey, AI, for instance, is a great tool, but if you don't have humans checking the work, it's a disaster.
Yes.
As many news outlets have discovered.
Right.
It's like, oh, you just put like it puts out 90% cool stuff, but 10% completely just reverses everything else. So yeah. I'm not scared of the computers on this one. The Texans are a better team, even on the road.
Yeah, I think so too. And you've not given your prediction yet, but the one thing you did say earlier, and I agree with you on this, the over-under is 42 on this game. I feel strongly that this is going to be a low-scoring game. I don't think I think this is one like if one of these teams first one to 20 wins. Like if one of these teams gets to 20, they're winning this game. That's my feeling on that. On that. The other thing we learned about J.J. Watt, and I don't want to put words in J.J. Watt's mouth, but it seems as though he's just as disgusted with the whole Aaron Rodgers 2024 experience as the rest of us are. This was J.J. Watt finding out yesterday that Aaron Rodgers now has a concoction that he drinks thanks to punter Thomas Morstead, the Jets punter, putting cayenne pepper in water in drinking it. So this is J.J. Watt finding out that this is the elixir that's going to turn Rodgers back into the MVP.
Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old, he's still doing it. Cayenne pepper now getting added to the... This is it.
That's it.
Fire Coach Saleh.
That's it.
They trade for Devontae.
Sprinkle it on the playbook. Maybe it'll pick the good plays if you like a Ouija board.
Okay. Whoa. Jeez Louise, this guy.
You like Ouija boards, Jage?
That is wild.
Never seen one. I still don't understand what they're supposed to.
All right, so that was after. This is the one I wanted right here. This is where he finds out about the cayenne pepper. Here we go.
Jage, what about the Fountain of Youth? Thomas Morstead has given Aaron, I guess, water and cayenne pepper. I thought that was something that my mom's friends used to do before spring break to try to lose a few pounds. What do you think? You never do this?
No. Yeah, right out of the darkness, baby. That's it. I mean, I'm going to do that today, actually. Then I might sign up for a team. Maybe that'll do it.
Maybe.
Okay.
Is this a joke, man? Like, is this a joke?
Jay!
Like,
what do you mean?
What is
like,
wrong?
Let's go play the ball, man. Just go play the ball, try and get better, play, score some
touchdowns.
That's
why he's drinking the cayenne pepper.
Because he wants to play the ball for a long time.
Trying to get better.
I'm so sick of all of us talking about this shit. Like it's not working. Like, you're 2-6. Like, you're 2-6.
I'm sure they
like,
the first.
I know. I know how it is. I've been there. I've been on really, like, I've struggled. I was on 2-14 team. I know exactly what that's like. So it sucks. All you want to do is go out there and win the game. You still have to answer the questions, but you also don't have to, like, stoke the fire a little bit here. Like, let's just, I mean, They're 2-6.
He's so disgusted.
The cayenne pepper stuff, and we'll play Aaron Rodgers talking about that later. There are anti-inflammatory properties to cayenne pepper and pain-killing properties to cayenne pepper. And more importantly, you know, no matter how powerful that is or is not, sometimes stuff like that has a good placebo effect in the short term.
Oh.
I don't think all of a sudden, it's not like all of a sudden the cayenne pepper and water is what's going to rapidly enhance his Achilles tendon repair.
Yeah.
But who knows? Rodgers also said that it wasn't... he was kind of putting the cayenne pepper stuff out there, I think, as a joke. He came out after having three different injuries that weren't his Achilles in the game Sunday, where he looked like he was hobbled. He looked like he couldn't run as well as he used to. He said he walked in on Tuesday and said, "Nope, I feel great, feel awesome, feel way better." And they're like, "Well, how?" And he said, aside from the cayenne pepper, he said he just didn't take that many hits in the game on Sunday, so that he was able to kind of recover even as he was playing a game on Sunday, because he wasn't re-aggravating those injuries.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% buying it. I think you're going to see the same somewhat hobbled Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night after playing on Sunday.
Well, this is where, again, not to beat a dead horse, like, this is where Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter can have a big say over how this game goes. Pop him good a couple times early in the game, and he's probably feeling a whole lot like he was with all those injuries that he had.
Pop him good.
Pop him good, man. Go get him.
He's done things that he doesn't typically do in peak Aaron Rodgers form. He's taken a bunch of sacks,
yeah,
and he's thrown a bunch of interceptions.
Yes.
So this is Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions is not what Aaron Rodgers does when he's at his peak and at his prime.
Right.
Everything's just a little disjointed and off. They can't get the snap off on time. They had to burn through timeouts. He doesn't look the same physically. It's on a short week. I'm as befuddled as Aaron Rodgers is when trying to figure out exactly why the Jets are favored.
You mean J.J. Watt? Yeah.
What did I say?
Aaron Rodgers.
What the hell?
You said,
yes, J.J. Watt. Yeah. I don't know why J.J. Watt is so befuddled.
Right. Yeah.
No, I do know why J.J. We got to start the show over. Start the period over. Blow the horn.
Control.
Blow the horn. That's what a coach. You know, there's an air horn that coaches use. Some coaches use to change the period.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Usually what'll happen is, like, when a coach gets really disgusted and he wants to start the period over, he's like, blow the horn!
Yeah.
We're starting over.
An air horn, would that be a sound that would distract drivers? You know what I mean? Like, we need to take that into account. Like, us playing little things like ding and stuff like, yeah, stuff like
kazoo?
That.
Where's my kazoo?
Yeah.
I can't find my, I think Brandy stole my kazoo out of my bag.
That was probably a good
She
move.
Hated the kazoo.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, once I find my kazoo again, we'll use that.
I don't know many people who are pro kazoo.
It's a bad thing when your wife hates your kazoo. I'll tell you that much. There's nothing she likes about my kazoo, it turns out.
Affects the relationship big time.
She's not out looking for another kazoo. She just doesn't like kazoos in general. She came to that realization all of a sudden.
This is how it's going to be.
It's not just your kazoo, Seth. I don't want any kazoos
anymore.
It's all
kazoos. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she and her friend Sally are going on a vacation together next. Girls week, girls weekend. Yeah. I don't know. It's cool. Whatever.
I'm not liking the kazoo. It's kind of hot. Five.
Can I watch you hate kazoos at least?
5 hour.
You're not gonna.
5 hour energy fan line. 5 hour energy. The official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Seth Bo Baggins living in a hamlet as a child. That is very Lord of the Rings.
It's a hamlet of fishers. That's all I remember is that it was described as.
Okay.
It's like a little community within a town. Kind of like Bel Air is a little town within a city.
Yeah, there's
and they've
like,
got their own post office and everything. That's what Fishers was like, just with a instead of Bel Air or Westview, it's a resident, it was a population of like 73 people.
We have a lot of those in town, like Village, the Village of such
Hillshire
and such.
Hillshire Village.
Town. We have a lot of Village. It's always funny in Houston because of the lack of zoning. Like, this is the Village of wherever, you know, like, and you think of these little flutes playing and all these hobbits dancing around, and there's a strip club, like, 50 yards to the left. You know what
I mean? There's that one little one.
There's a Valero with a convenience store inside. Nice little village you have here.
There's that one that it's off of Voss, like north of I-10, I think, mm-hmm. where it's.
That's a village.
It's a, and they've
Hunter's
got
Village.
Hunter's Village. They've got notorious speed traps.
Yes.
And I always wondered if, like, is this like a Dukes of Hazzard type situation where all I have to do is make it across the, instead of making it across the county line, I just got to make it across the hamlet line.
Right.
And,
right.
And I'll be out of trouble. So I always want, I had fantasies about testing that. Like, yeah. Blow past the speed trap and see if I can make it over out of the Hunter's Village line to get there.
You're only allowed to play Waylon Jennings, though, the Duke Boys theme song, if you find a swell that allows you to jump up and over I-10 as you're leaving.
Yeah. You know? You know what? It's Spring Valley Village north of I-10.
I think Hunter's Village is south. Yeah.
Spring Valley Village is the one that will get you.
Okay, kids.
Do not speed in Spring Valley Village.
Good warning, Seth. Yes. Good morning.
Like 5 miles per hour over the speed limit. Yeah. No, you are not. Get the hell. Just go the speed limit, damn it.
This ain't no hamlet of fishers over there, man. They're there to bust people, all right? There's no tires getting burned. They're just busting people for speeding over there. That's it. Got to hit quota.
Oops, I turned off my body cam, it turns out. Yeah, just be careful. Be careful, all right?
You and I are so getting pulled over there now.
I can't never go back to Spring Valley Village no more.
Nope.
They're vigilant. Nice parks there, though. That's the thing. That's how they get you.
That's how they pay for their nice parks, by catching everybody for speeding.
Entice you. That's true. might as well just throw a wad of cash at the park.
It's a give and a take, man. It's a give and a take. One more from J.J. Watt. He's a big Will Anderson Jr. fan, as are we.
So Will Anderson,
I personally love seeing Will Anderson get some shine, because I think he sometimes gets overlooked because he was drafted third when C.J. Stroud was drafted second. So everybody gives C.J. Stroud a ton of love, rightfully so. But Will Anderson Jr., I mean, even from year one to year two, he was defensive rookie of the year last year, but he's taken his game up a completely another level this year. He's playing unbelievable football, has Danielle Hunter on the other side, which obviously helps. But Will Anderson deserves a ton of shine too. I mean, this is a very good list.
Okay, so I'm assuming they were looking at the odds board for defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I got to read this text, and then I'll let you talk about Will. 5 Hour Energy fan line. Daniil and Will are going to hit Rodgers, and a plume of cayenne pepper is going to be emitted like cleaning an old rug.
It's going to be like pepper spray.
Yeah.
That's the real reason he's doing the cayenne pepper.
Good call,
He's hoping that his breath is like pepper spray to defensive linemen.
Yeah, man.
So I want to see Will out there in sports specs. He and Danielle Hunter have to be wearing goggles out there.
Goggles,
just
masks,
even swim goggles.
Blast shields, yes, for sure.
With an N90 mask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, is it N90? I can't remember.
I think it is.
Look, Will Anderson has some personal scores to settle here, too. Yeah. Because, you know, Will was critical of himself in that playoff game versus the Ravens. And the offensive tackle that he was facing for much of that day was Morgan Moses.
Ooh,
now Morgan Moses is the right tackle for the Jets. Morgan Moses, kind of like a lot of the other old guys on that team, isn't looking quite the same as his peak self.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons Will Anderson wanted to gain weight was that he felt like by the end of the season, he just didn't have it to really fight and take it to guys like Morgan Moses.
Yeah.
So I think you see more. I think you see Will Anderson go full. Like Jerry Springer show, hey, you used to bully me in high school, but look at me now, on Morgan Moses. And Will has flipped the switch in terms of some of the more elite type and style of pass rushing. He's more of a true edge rusher now than he was even earlier in the season. He's attacking edges and getting around the corner really well these last few games. I think you see a vintage prime performance out of Will.
Yeah, he's been elite lately, man. He's been so good. So good. All right, you ready to do this Circle of Swarm, a Thursday edition?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I've got my cayenne pepper. I got to track down my cayenne pepper. I was hoping to do my cayenne pepper and water before the Circle of Swarm.
Okay.
To just really strengthen me for it, but I'll have to do
you
it
got
without
this.
It.
Yeah, you got this. All right,
I'm going in raw.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
You know, D'Amico always says swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do. Everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men. Believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
Circle of Swarm. It is the completely subjective Payne and Pendergast acknowledgement of Texans who capture the essence of the swarm mentality, who have captured it throughout the season, who have captured it in recent games, and who we hope capture it, in this case, tonight against the New York Jets. So there is some degree, a lot of a degree, of recency, but with hope that they apply it tonight as well. We each pick three. There can only be six every week. It's not the circle of trust where it can be everybody or nobody. There are six every week, come hell or high water. And, Seth, it's your turn to go first this week, I believe.
I do think the bottom half of the Circle of Swarm is probably going to be pretty blue-collar this week. Yeah. That's what I'm anticipating.
Yep.
I'll go blue-collar, but also a star player for my first choice this week, and Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon. He's on my list, too. So you got Joe Mixon in the Circle of Swarm. He is as swarmy a running back as there is in the league.
Everything about him grinding out extra yardage, doing everything, just being a team leader, everything that you'd hope to get out of him, I think he has been, other than the durability. So, especially because I think tonight the running backs are really going to matter. I think it's about defensive line and running backs tonight. Mm-hmm. And I think Breece Hall has not been performing as well as people would hope or expect, but he's got it in him. Joe Mixon's got to win the battle of the running backs tonight, and I think he will.
I would agree. Mixon is a great choice. I am going to go blue collar right out of the chute on this one. And blue collar under the radar, and a guy who I've had on the fringe a couple times this year because of big plays that he's made in the game, and I think he's overachieved expectations, and a lot of that has to do with opportunity because Jimmy Ward's been so banged up. Eric Murray had three pass breakups in the last game. I think Eric Murray has been very solid for this team this year. He's shown up, had a big interception a couple of weeks ago against the Patriots, but he was big early on. He had three pass breakups, I want to say, in the first quarter against the Colts, and I feel like there's some degree with the Circle of Swarm where we reach a point where we go, you know what, that guy, he's been real solid all year, and he had a really good game last week, and this is the week. And that's what this is for Eric Murray. I'm putting Eric Murray in this week's Circle of Swarm. Boom.
So, all right, this leaves me with, I think, probably the
last.
Two
left for you, Seth. Here.
Two left. Yeah. I'm going to go, this is simple enough, Jalen Petrie.
Okay. I think he's on Jalen my list
Petrie,
too.
Who you know early on the Texans defensive backs picked themselves off to allow a big touchdown. Jalen Petrie completely reversed and negated that touchdown with his interception that led to a touchdown at the end of the first half, and he's just doing more and more of what you hope to see out of the vintage rookie year Jalen Petrie. With much less of the bad. So, yeah, Jalen Petrie.
Prime time Jalen Petrie. All right, I'm going to just go. I went kind of off the radar on the last one. I'm just going to keep this one simple. Will Anderson Jr., I think, deserves to be in there again. I think he was excellent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Excellent. I just want to make sure as we go through this, like, okay, well, there's some obvious ones we've got to make sure we get
in. Yeah, this doesn't feel that blue collar as we get into this
well,
now, doesn't it?
Well, we'll see. But we've still got two slots left to fill here, but I just wanted to make sure that we got Will Anderson Jr. in there because he has been excellent all year. He's been super excellent the last few weeks, and he was huge against the Colts, man. Big sack in that game. Led the team in tackles. He was the player of the game that game. He was our guest on the post-game show and had on maybe the greatest outfit of any post-game guest ever. Shades, black cowboy hat, leather jacket, brand new cowboy boots. That matters in the swarm mentality. You got to look good after the game, too. All right.
Now, this is a tough one here.
Yeah.
It's going to be very subjective and maybe bending the qualification rules a little bit.
Because
I'm going to go with the defensive lineman.
Okay.
Has Tim Settle been in the circle of
swarm
yet?
He has.
Oh, he has.
He has. Yeah, I put him in. Maybe last week, I think. Yeah, I put him in last week. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay, I feel like that was a bit of an attaboy because he's not one of the best players on the team, but he's really come along as he's learned the system.
Sure.
And his reps haven't changed all that much since week three. He's been getting about 30 or 40 snaps per game.
Yeah.
And yet all of a sudden now he's turning in a sack every week. And yet...
Yeah, another look, Sean, one this past week. Yeah.
This is a primetime game. I got to just keep it simple. Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter,
one of the league leaders in pressure rates.
Yep.
The sacks have started to come. He was huge in last week's game. Danielle Hunter.
Okay. I was really hoping you would have taken one of these guys to take the pressure off of me. I'm down to two.
Okay.
I had Hunter on my list. I just crossed him. All three of the guys you had, I have a list of about eight guys in front of me. All three of the guys you picked were on my list. You made great selections this week. Mixon, Petrie, and Hunter. On the one hand, you look at needs in this game, and you look at how he played against the Colts, and you look at him playing with a broken scapula.
Oh, good call.
Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter, I think, is an excellent choice. And yet, I said after the game last Sunday that might have been, even though statistically it was a, you know, kind of an average game for him, mm-hmm. That might have been one of C.J. Stroud's best games I've ever seen him play, given the pressure he was under all game.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good, and he takes so many hits, and he's so tough.
Okay.
So it's down to those two. I think it goes without saying you need C.J. Stroud every week, right? Like so the tiebreaker in this for me is going to be this needs to be a good Lassiter and Stingley game. You know what I mean? Like, these are mm-hmm. good wide receivers on this team. Davante Adams. On one side, you've got Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams.
Garrett Wilson's had 100 yards receiving in three of the last four games.
Yeah, like this is a big test for Stingley and Lassiter. And so I think that's going to be – and I don't know that Kamari's made the Circle of Swarm this year, and he's had a really good rookie year. So – and this is what the Circle of Swarm is all about. It's a combination of all the elements. So the tiebreaker here is the need for – like saying that C.J. Stroud needs to play well is like saying that we need air conditioning in July. You know what I mean? Like it's – Lassiter, the corners and the defensive ends, man, that's what's going to win the game for the Texans. Pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and then when they make Aaron Rodgers throw indecisively or make poor decisions, it's up to Stingley and Lassiter to make plays on the ball. So I'm going to put Kamari Lassiter, I believe, for the first time in his career. So you know that somewhere in New York right now, he's feeling a tremor in the force. Yeah, he's never been in the Circle of Swarm. This is a big day for Kamari Lassiter. I'm telling you right now, it's a big day for him. He's in the Circle of Swarm.
Boom. All right, good.
Yeah.
So this is it's going to be a defensive battle as far as we can foresee.
And that's reflected in the Circle of Swarm, by the way. It's mixing in a bunch of defensive guys.
I think one thing that you and I are starting to do a little bit more is I think we're factoring in who's got the challenge this week.
Yeah.
And exactly what, you know, like all of that. So it's a little bit aspirational,
yes.
Which is good. That's what the Circle of Swarm is all
about.
That
was a tiebreaker for me with Lassiter, you know? Like so it's mixing. And admittedly, it's easier for defensive guys to actually swarm.
Yeah.
You know, Mixon, Eric Murray, Jalen Petrie, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and Kamari Lassiter. Tiebreaker, this is from the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Tiebreaker, CJ didn't tap out.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think the fun thing about this was, you know, we were going to be very, very It's a high bar for any offensive lineman to clear to make the circle of swarm.
Yeah.
There's a certain personality to that offensive line that I just flat out give the side eye emoji.
Yeah,
to.
There you go. That's a yeah. That's,
yeah. If Kendrick Green ends up playing most of the reps and Kendrick Green plays really well, he will most assuredly be in the circle of swarm.
It's funny you say that because yes. I was actually I
next
actually
week, next week.
I actually yeah. wrote this down to ask you. Hypothetically, if Jared Patterson had stayed in the game last week,
oh, yeah.
and the offense yeah. had kept moving, would Jared Patterson have made the circle of swarm? And I think right. it would have been worth having a conversation in my mind, and it sounds like you might have put him in if that had happened.
If he had played, yeah, Patterson and Kendrick Green are the leaders on most likely to make the circle of swarm at some point.
Yes, because of newness, because of filling a severe deficiency on that line that may actually yeah. tighten things up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. A lot of people saying Kalen Bullock should be in there. Kalen Bullock's had a solid year, man. I don't, you know, I'm thinking back to Sunday's game. I mean, he missed a decent chunk of Sunday's game because he was out with a shoulder injury for a while. Now he came back in, and that's very swarmy, you know, coming back in off of a shoulder injury. But there can only be six. You know, there can
What's
only
up with
be
all the shoulder injuries to the defensive backs.
You remember Justin Reed used to hurt his shoulder all the time because he exclusively tackled with his shoulders.
Right, yeah, trying to avoid targeting, he would go in with his shoulder and do it. Justin Reed did a good job of making the clean legal hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he,
well, now, Lassiter got thrown down by Keon Coleman. Wasn't a dirty play, but it was...
Oh, on the on the OPI. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a frustrating injury because, as I like to say that the scapula is a useless bone. Lots of people pointed out that, oh, your shoulder will fall out of the joint without the scapula. Details. It was a weird injury.
For you, hasn't your shoulder already fallen out of its joint with a scapula, right? Didn't you have a shoulder issue?
Yeah, that logic sounds impenetrable. So yes.
I'm saying you of all people know that it's useless. It didn't prevent you from having your shoulder pop out of joint,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Plus, last week, it's a week-by-week thing, and last week, I don't think Kalen Bullock had, a swarm-worthy performance last week.
No, I don't think so either.
He missed a couple tackles last week.
Yep. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. Do you think this game will be a showcase so Caserio can look at a couple of Jets receivers that may try to trade? He may try to trade for if the Jets lose. I think the only one that's really on the block that's an impact player, because they're not trading Davante Adams, and they're not trading Garrett Wilson, would be Mike Williams. I read an article by Garrett with Houston Stressens. He had a list of receivers that the Texans might go after, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of shore up, you know, as a third receiver, that kind of thing. And I thought he made a good point in there that Williams is more of like a Nico guy. He's more of like an X, like an outside guy.
Yep.
And if you're trying to replace Diggs, you probably need somebody that's got more of a middle of the field element to them,
yeah.
you know, slot
yeah.
element to them.
Yeah.
So Williams might not be a real great
fit. I think they look at their replacement for Diggs as Tank Dell, and it's just a more conventional looking offense where you don't have three stud wide receivers on the depth chart. You've got your X, and whether you want to call him an F or a Z in this offense, whatever the terminology is. Yeah, he's more of a Diggs type.
I think it's a combination of Dell doing the downfield stuff maybe Diggs used to do, and Robert Woods doing some of the, you know, the five, you know, third and three, little out pattern or little crosser, and it'd be Robert Woods probably. We'll see.
I got somebody tried to get me into an argument about wide receiver position group terminology yesterday.
Yeah, you're rubbing your eyes pretty heavy the last 10 seconds.
Well, because it's like every coordinator does it a little bit differently, and they use different letters for this or that, but then people it just gets annoying.
I think 95% of the people listening have no idea what the letters mean.
Right. Yeah, which is, I shouldn't have even brought it, but that's why I was rubbing my eyes. It wasn't because of the cayenne pepper and water. It was
on your fingers.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast.
It's like, no, Seth, an F receiver. It's like, I'll stop it. Just stop.
Yeah, I agree. Did they get a go die? Did they get a go?
No. I kept it polite.
There you go. All right. Text message. Good morning, boys. You know it's good since the Yankees lost. It is a good morning. Yeah. The Dodgers won, so it's not great, but the Yankees lost, and Aaron Judge was a complete goat, and not the good kind. Like, he was a donkey in the whole thing. You know?
If we were doing Yankees talk radio and we had a circle of swarm for the Yankees, I think Aaron Judge would kind of be like the Texans' offensive tackle.
Yes.
There's very little they can do in the regular season that's going to put Aaron Judge in the circle of swarms.
Okay.
Because you have it constantly hanging over you that he chokes in the playoffs.
We got to go to break and we got to give away football tickets, but I love this. Maybe even a more appropriate comparison. Would Aaron, if they had a circle of trust like we do for the Astros, would Aaron Judge be in your circle of trust if you were? He can't be, right? In the postseason.
No.
Yeah.
The captain. Yeah, the vaunted captain.
And yet he's gonna win MVP of the league, probably, you know?
Yeah. He's the least trustworthy guy in baseball.
It's crazy, man.
He's
crazy.
Awful.
Yep. Let's give away those tickets.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he's terrible. Yeah, he's money in the regular season. All right, let's give away the tickets. U of H football, 713-572-4610. Caller number 5, 4-pack of tickets to U of H and K-State. That's 713-572-4610. Call now. You'll get a chance to win tomorrow as well. But call now, and you can be on your way to Cougs K-State, 2:30 kickoff at TDECU Stadium. Okay, speaking of the Yankees in the World Series, if you haven't heard this yet, you will never believe, or maybe you will believe, who one of the college buddies is of the Yankee fan that tried to rip off Mookie Betts' glove and arm the other night. This is tremendous, and we will have it for you coming up next. But speaking of U of H football, if you're not, I'm looking at the phone lines ringing right now. I can see who caller number 5 is going to be, all right? Any of you other ones on there, if you want to go to the game, if you want to go to U of H and K-State, then you can go to uhcougars.com/black. Why slash black? Because it's the blackout special, of course. A ticket and a t-shirt for just $30 to get out to TDECU Stadium. Kansas State's a good football team, man. Cougs are playing well, man. They just beat Utah. This should be a hell of a game on Saturday. It kicks off at 2:30 at TDECU, and you can be there for the blackout special. Great time out there. uhcougars.com/black. Come early. Stop by the Bud Light backyard tailgate area. Enjoy food, beverage. They got tailgate games. Weather's going to be awesome. Come early. Be loud. Wear black. Not red this time. We're black. We're blacking out TDECU Stadium. uhcougars.com/black. It's the Cougs and the Wildcats Saturday at 2:30.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln at Katy Freeway. 1 mile west of the Beltway, exit Kirkwood, under the giant American flag.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, top of the hour, we will hear from Aaron Rodgers on the elixir that is going to get him back to MVP status. That's going to be the fountain of youth for him. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers, whose head we hope the Texans rip off of its torso tonight at 7:15, starting at 7:15 here on Sports Radio 610. If you missed it, we just did our Circle of Swarm, usually on Fridays, but it's game day today. Circle of Swarm this week. Joe Mixon, Eric Murray, Jalen Petrie, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Kamari Lassiter. I'm very comfortable with that 5. That's a good 5 right there on the circle of swarm. Good job, Sean.
There's enough, and the Texans are doing well enough that there's plenty of people that are angry about other omissions. But hey, that's circle of swarm, baby.
That's it.
You're never going to feel good. When the team is good, you're always going to feel like a few guys got screwed over, and that's the way it should be.
That's how it goes. So Austin Capobianco is the name of the Yankee fan that was ripping at Mookie Betts' mitt in game 4 in the first inning. Gleyber Torres, if you guys are listening to a sports talk show, I'm assuming that 99% of you have seen it by now, or at least heard us talk about it, where Mookie Betts, playing right field that night for the Dodgers, made his way over towards the stands to try to catch a pop foul off the bat of Gleyber Torres. He jumps up into the stands, catches the ball, but two of the fans there, Capobianco and another buddy of his, last name of Peter, one grabbed the gloved arm of Mookie Betts, the other grabbed the ungloved arm, and they tried to slap away at the ball. And in the process, in my opinion, could have hurt Mookie Betts. I don't know if I'm being overreactive about that, but like Mookie Betts is dangling by his wrists.
No, they were trying to wrestle the ball out of a guy's hand. It was one of the weirder things that's ever happened in an MLB baseball.
It'll be the most memorable thing from this World Series. Probably Freddie Freeman's home run in Game 1, the walk-off grand slam.
Yeah,
and these two clowns clawing away at Mookie Betts' glove to try to prevent an out for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were ejected from that game, obviously. They were not allowed to attend last night.
Right.
The Yankees, The Yankees, who are getting some criticism early, that because for a while people thought, wait a second, they're going to be allowed back in.
Right.
They're not at least this year. And the Yankees gave those seats to a teenage cancer patient and his family.
So there's a good story that comes out
of it. Good job, Yankees, on that at least.
Yep.
Indeed. Not because they wanted to, but because they knew the PR move, like, by them, but whatever.
Fine, if Capo Bianco can't go, I guess.
Yeah.
If I had to put together a power ranking, just based purely on Capo Bianco's look, his energy, and the fact that he's clawing away at some dude's arm who's an active player in a game, if I had to put together a power ranking of current or recently retired athletes that would have been on the friends list for Capo Bianco, I think Gronk would have made the top 10 on this thing for sure. You know, like,
it's you know what I would say? It's one of the least surprising names that could have come out.
Yes.
You said, okay, there's a great NFL player, current or retired, who was buddies with this guy growing up in high school. Then, Gronk wouldn't have been a surprise.
Well, it wasn't high school. That's the crazy thing about it. They're friends at Arizona, of all places. Like, when I first heard, I thought the same thing, Seth. When I first heard they were buddies, I'm like, that makes sense. You know, Gronk's from upstate New York, and, you know, they're like, Capo Bianco, they might have crossed paths at some point. Here's Gronk talking about it on Kay Adams yesterday.
This is actually the first time I'm seeing this live. Okay. And here's a little fun fact. That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove.
Don't tell me you know
was
him.
My friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable, just how wild
animals?
These guys. Animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly, just doing whatever it takes to help his team out. But
he's a beauty.
He is a beauty.
Okay, hold
and I just
on.
Want to say congratulations.
Congratulations!
For shining when your moment came.
Okay.
You know, the crazy... Okay, I don't know why I thought it was his high school hockey team. That dude was playing college... Gronk, that's the most amazing thing about any of this. Is when Gronk was in college as a college football player, he was playing intramural ice hockey.
No. I think he's just saying that guy was on the hockey team. And he was saying those hockey guys are crazy. Like, I thought
he was saying he was on my hockey club.
No,
oh,
I think he was saying
right.
he was on
okay.
the club team at University of Arizona. I don't think Gronk played hockey. And there's no way.
It wouldn't have surprised me if he did.
It wouldn't have surprised me if he played one game and then the coach said, stop playing hockey.
Yeah. That's don't cheer that behavior, Gronk. That was bogus, man.
To be fair, he did go on to kind of, you know, say, hey, you shouldn't do that kind of thing. But that's not as funny as playing the audio that he actually said right there.
That guy, I can tell you right now, that Capo Bianco, or it's not clear whether it was Capo Bianco or Peter, whichever one, because there were two guys grabbing
Capo
the glove,
Bianco
right?
was the guy grabbing the glove.
It was the guy. Yes, okay, so yes. Capo Bianco. Boy, I got to tell you one, as a classic, like looking like an aggressive, angry New Englander who's talking about the Yankees all the time or Northeasterner, I don't think he was probably very popular out in Arizona. that level of intensity just doesn't travel well. A lot of people, when you're out on the closer to the West Coast especially, people are kind of like, bro, what? What are you? Why are you so angry about this stuff?
I think
he was popular with Gronk, who himself is from Buffalo, and it wouldn't have been as much of a shock to him. I'm guessing he wasn't all that popular in college.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing to me when I listened to that cut was like, okay, these two, both Northeasterners, so that makes sense. Yeah. They might run into each other, but then it was the universe. Like if Gronk went to Syracuse, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But they were at University of Arizona, dude. The club sports guys in the big contact sports, we had a club rugby team in college. I think rugby is club at most. I don't think there is an NCAA-sanctioned rugby, if I'm not mistaken. The rugby team at my school, those guys were insane. Like, the club sport dudes, because they're sort of, they're not governed by the same body that the NCAA-sanctioned sports are. So they're crazy. They have good parties, man. The club teams.
Yeah, they don't have the same rules and restrictions around the drinking side of things and everything. Yeah.
So they're fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Gronk, good buddies with Capo Bianco, man. I think Seth's favorite, Bruno Giacomini, would be BFFs with Capo Bianco. Yeah, give us the list. Who are the athletes that you would have guessed would have been friends with? Dude, Bruno Giacomini, for sure.
Jason Peters, 100%.
The whole Peter family, yeah. Well, dude, the guy sitting next to him's last name was Peter. Well,
yeah, Christian Peter, actually.
Yeah.
Not Jason Peters, but Jason Peter and Christian Peter.
Yeah.
Right? Was that Christian Peter was the real rough
one. He was the insane one that went to Nebraska.
He was too rough for New Jersey.
Yeah.
They like, after a few years, they're like, all right, you can't be on the Giants. No
yeah,
more.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, I wonder if that guy's related to them. The guy who was sitting next to Capo Bianco, his last name was Peter. I wonder if he's related.
He was behaving like a Peter brother.
Sure was. Behaving like a Peter.
That was because those guys came from the Nebraska football team that acted like a club rugby team off the field.
Yeah, what am I saying?
Those guys were a club rugby team, basically.
Dude.
And that was sanctioned by the NCAA.
Yeah.
And your hero, Tom Osborne.
Florida, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. You want to talk about the old days of cops looking the other way.
Yes.
Those old
yes.
Nebraska teams. My
yes.
God.
The Yankee fan, this is the 5-Hour Energy fan line texting in. The Yankee fan probably complained about the Astros cheating as he was getting taken away.
Oh, Capo Bianco. For sure.
Yeah.
How many times is Cashman this offseason going to somehow find a way to just pivot back to the 2017 being better than everyone else scandal and making an excuse for not winning the World Series or even showing up in the World Series this year?
Yep.
At least once. At least once he's going to point out that the Astros got caught doing doing things electronically, just like the Yankees did. Yeah,
Richie Incognito is getting a lot of support on the text
page.
Oh, right
yeah,
now. Yeah. All right, text in.
Yeah, we should have an all-time Capo Bianco team in the NFL.
Yeah, text
just
in
the biggest meatheads you can think of.
Right, text in 713-572-4610. The 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. All right, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Hey, we'll do a Thursday edition of 5 Reasons I Hate You. We need one more. We've got 4. I like leaving the last one open. Okay, so we're asking you guys to do a lot. Send in your sports meatheads, Capo Bianco style, and also send in a good 5th reason to hate the New York Jets. We'll do that at 8:25 on the show as we head into the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, Aaron Rodgers on the elixir that's going to drive him to victory tonight and in future weeks. This is some of the dumbest stuff you're going to hear. We'll do that coming up next. But Prize Picks, great night for Prize Picks. Now, baseball is in the rear view, so now we can hyper-focus, people. We've got basketball season is here. There's a lot of money to be made on Prize Picks in basketball season, and football season, obviously, is just the best. Having some Prize Picks lineups in as you're watching on a Sunday or a Saturday, they've got college football on there as well. That's what Prize Picks is there for. It is America's number one daily fantasy app. Over 5 million people are playing it, and I'm one of them. My wife, Amy, plays it. She loves it. There's nothing I like more than coming home from doing postgame on a Sunday, and the first thing I see is my big smile on my wife's face, and then she shows me her phone that she won $100 on Prize Picks. It's the best. It's like Christmas in October. It's unbelievable. That can be you. They've got a huge selection of sports, huge selection of players. All you're doing is picking 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you're picking more or less. So, you know, tonight you can do more or less on C.J. Stroud passing yards, Joe Mixon rushing yards. And the more you get right, the more you win. You can win up to 100 times your money. You can turn $10 into $1,000 on Prize Picks. It's so fun. I play it all the time. You should too. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use my code 610 and you're going to get a $50 bonus by playing a $5 lineup. Download the Prize Picks app, promo code 610, $50 bonus right into your account for playing a $5 lineup. You don't even need to win the $5 lineup. The $50 is yours. So download Prize Picks today and put in my code 610. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.